Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It is Legal Aid Works this morning. Ann Klockner is with us by phone. Alex Rydell, a staff attorney with Legal Aid Works, is in studio. Alex, great to have you here this morning. Good morning. Welcome back. You were here a couple of years ago.
Well, thanks, Ted. It's great to be on here again.
And Ann, it's always good to talk to you. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Ted. Thanks for having us.
And we talked about a month ago about a number of issues and a lot of pandemic-related issues. And housing is one that you and I have talked about really from the beginning of the pandemic. This has been a serious, serious issue for a number of reasons.
It is. One of the first things that people were being told to do was to shelter in place or to quarantine or to isolate. And you can't do that if you're homeless. And so that was one of the biggest concerns, was just a health thing. What happens when you're homeless? You go to your friend's house, so more people in a small space. That's not good. The other problem that we saw a lot was that people had no income. All of a sudden, the bottom fell out of their financial situation, lost their jobs, or they had to stay home and take care of kids because the daycare situation or the school was closed. So people were not able to afford their rent all of a sudden. And so that really created more difficulties for people who were really on the edge to begin with.
Alex, you were here before the pandemic, and we were talking about housing issues. I guess none of the housing issues that you were dealing with before the pandemic, none of those have gone away. And I'm sure, as Ann just talked about, they've kind of been multiplied.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's exactly right. Basically, the pandemic really exacerbated all the pre-existing issues that were already here, because the main thing about our housing problems is that so many people are just one bad day away from facing an eviction or facing homelessness, whether they get in a car accident or there's some kind of a family emergency. And basically, the pandemic was that one bad day happening constantly to just about everybody.
Yeah. And I know that there were a number of programs that people could take part in, and we'll get into all of that as we go along. Have things gotten any better, or are we still dealing with some substantial issues here?
Well, it's definitely still substantial, but I won't say that things haven't gotten better. There have been a lot of new laws that got put in place over the last couple of years that have made it better for tenants. The issue is that some of those laws aren't permanent. Some of them are looking to expire at the end of June, and we're definitely hoping that those get renewed.
And that's been the thing we have talked about a lot. Some of these things that are in place, you have always been one that has hammered home and really preached about the fact that while things are in place now, a lot of these things are going to go away. Even if there's not an end date yet, there's going to be an end date someday.
Right.
Yeah, and that is great to set an end date because everybody wants this to be over, but it isn't the end date for a lot of people's financial issues. That doesn't just suddenly go away because a law stops. I'll give you a specific example. Before the pandemic, landlords, when somebody wasn't paying their rent, would have to issue what they call a five-day pay or quit. That means a notice to the tenant saying, I'm giving you 5 days, you're late on your rent, I'm going to give you 5 days. If I don't get the payment in 5 days, I'm going to go to court and try to evict you. Mm-hmm. And they changed it during the pandemic to be 14 days. Give the tenant, at least maybe a paycheck would happen during those 14 days that wouldn't happen within 5 days, and it would give them a little more opportunity to scrape things together and pay their rent and avoid the eviction. That was going to expire in this coming June of 2022, and I believe this last week a bill was heard in a committee to try to get the General Assembly to make that permanent and not expire in June. And that failed in committee. So it looks very possible that that protection, that extra little cushion, is going to go away and go back to the just 5 days to scramble and get your rent together, as opposed to the 14-day, you know, a little bit bigger cushion.
Wow, Alex, and that's the kind of a little thing. It doesn't seem like much, but as Ann explains that, and you think about just in real life terms about how that 14 days would give you a chance if you've got a job to have a paycheck come through. A little small thing, but you think about it, that's a big deal.
Exactly. Because with those 5 days, well, you're probably not going to be getting your next paycheck or your next public benefits check or whatever you're waiting for income. But with those 14 days, then you're more likely to have that. I can't begin to tell you just how many times that one change has helped me prevent a lot of evictions. And on top of that, there's been another law that was part of the governor's budget bill where our rent relief program through the state, in order to evict someone for non-payment of rent, the landlord would have to apply for that program or cooperate with the tenants. And if they hadn't done that, then they wouldn't have grounds to evict somebody. Through those two changes, we've managed to prevent a whole bunch of evictions, get tenants involved in that program, keep them housed, and it's good for the landlords too, because that way they actually get their money instead of getting a judgment and then not being able to collect on the tenant.
Yeah. Boy, and I'm sure that's one of the benefits of having someone like you who deals with these kind of issues all the time. You see those kind of things, and you're either able to talk to legislators or local officials, or you just, these are things that when you don't deal with it, you may never consider.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was definitely something that struck me when I first took this job back in 2017, was just how fundamentally important this issue is. Because without a decent house, well, where are you going to pay your taxes? Where are you going to go to work? Where are you going to send your kids to school? It all just cements on that one thing.
And when you talk about that, it really is more than just, because you talk about the people who lose housing, but also for the landlords, you want to see them in a situation where they're getting money. So a lot of the things that we're going to talk about today, and you talk about these things, these are win-wins for everybody.
Exactly. I mean, they didn't ask for the pandemic and the economic problems to hit any more than the tenants did.
Alex Riedel is here. He's a staff attorney with Legal Aid Works. Ann Klockner, the executive director with Legal Aid Works, is here. LegalAidWorks.org is their website. And we'll talk a little bit more, too, about what Legal Aid Works does. We need to take a break, and we will continue on this morning with Ann and Alex when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Here at Wonder.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're talking housing this morning with Legal Aid Works. Ann Klockner, the executive director here. Alex Riedel is here. He's a staff attorney with Legal Aid Works. If you want to check out the great website, also a Facebook page, but LegalAidWorks.org, the website for Legal Aid Works. And we'll talk in the next segment about a little bit about what Legal Aid Works does in this community. But also many communities around the region. LegalAidWorks.org. Alex, we talked about housing. I know in the past that there have been some things with mortgage relief and in mortgages out there. Where does all that stand right now?
Well, right now, like with the Virginia Rent Relief Program, they initially had a program for mortgages. that went away after a while, but since January, they have just started it back up again, where if you've had some kind of an income loss because of the pandemic, you could go and apply and see if you could get help with that.
Where do you apply at?
It's virginiamortgagerelief.com.
Okay, virginiamortgagerelief.com. So, what does that all do?
Well, what that would do is, I'm not entirely familiar with the program, so definitely take this with someone a grain of salt. But what you do is you would go apply, basically send up your information about here's what the mortgage is, here's what my income loss was, here's what my assets and resources are. And what it would do is see if you would qualify for that aid to help pay those past due arrears. And could jump in and correct me if I'm mistaken on that. It's something I need to elaborate on.
No, it's exactly what you just said. They are offering assistance for up to $30,000 for homeowners who have fallen behind on their mortgage. It's either $30,000 or 20 months of mortgage payments, whichever is less, but that's still pretty significant. A total of $250 million has been set aside. And you have to be a Virginia resident who owns and occupies your primary residence. It can be a house, it can be a condo, a co-op, a mobile home, anywhere that you are paying mortgage payments for a place that you live. And it also covers not only your mortgage payments that are behind, but if you're behind in your taxes, your property taxes, your homeowner's insurance, any homeowner's fees that you missed, anything after January 21st of 2020, so that goes way back, and it's available through that website. There's also a phone number, and it's 833-687-8677, and that website that Alex mentioned, VirginiaMortgageRelief.com, also has some information on there about who's eligible, how you determine that, what kind of documentation you need. You're going to have to fill out an application, a photo ID to prove who you are, your mortgage statement or your property tax or homeowner's insurance statements. Things like that to prove what you owe and how to process all of that.
VirginiaMortgageRelief.com, again, the website, or 833-687-8677. Boy, Alex, if you're a person who is up against it and really has some concerns about making your mortgage payments, this is something you want to definitely look into.
Exactly.
This is to have these kind of programs, and especially in these days, I would think that this has been a lifesaver for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. I know that this one is somewhat of a more recent program. Another thing that's been going on is for a lot of the federally backed mortgages, they've also had special forbearance programs open, and also special loss mitigation that's been available for them to take advantage of. I would say that for anybody who's facing problems with mortgages, just don't wait. Contact the servicer or the lender right away and see what you can take advantage of.
That's one thing that Ann has talked to us from the beginning of the pandemic about. Don't wait. And don't you've got nothing to gain, I guess, by just laying back and hoping you're going to come into some kind of money.
Right.
You must see. I mean, you deal with these kind of situations. I can't imagine just what a lot of these I know just the panic I would feel.
Yeah, because I know that for a lot of these homeowners, it could be a house that's been the family for decades, maybe even generations.
Yeah,
and I can't even imagine what it would feel like to lose that.
Excuse me, Alex. Sorry to interrupt, but the other aspect that people may not understand is how easy and quick it is for the foreclosure to come through. And maybe you can explain to everybody a little bit about what the foreclosure process is in Virginia and how really, really quick that process is.
Mm-hmm. So the big thing about foreclosures is that we're what's called a non-judicial state. So unlike some other states, you don't actually have to go to court to be foreclosed on. basically what's in your deed of trust is going to determine what sort of protections and rights that you may have. Your servicer may be required to send you a notice saying that we're going to accelerate your payments, so you have to pay everything, or they may not even have to do that. The main protection that's in place is that before they actually set the auction date, they have to give you a notice beforehand. It used to be something that's really quick, but one thing that has been changed in the law, and that thankfully is a permanent one, is now that notice has to be for 60 days. So that does give any homeowners more time to get on top of things, more time to apply for loss mitigation, and possibly get the matter resolved before it gets to that point.
What was it? Do you know off the top of your head what it was before it was 60 days?
Not off of the top of my head. I think that before, the main thing was that there will be an advertisement in the local newspaper.
Okay.
But it was much, much shorter.
Boy, still 60.
Yeah, I think it was something like 14 days. I was really crazy quick.
That sounds about right.
Wow, that's. I mean, to me, even 60 days. If you're looking at a situation of a foreclosure, 60 days is gives you a little bit of time. But still, in these kind of situations, and probably dealing with the kind of money you're talking about, that still is pretty quick too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the big thing that I'm really happy about this change is that, under federal mortgage regulations, if you're able to get it together, a loss mitigation package, get it complete, and get it sent to your servicer, then they have to evaluate it. They have to get back to you and say, okay, we've determined that you qualify for for a refinancing, or for having your interest rate change. Or even if you don't do that, we could set up something like a short sale or a deed in lieu of foreclosure, so you can make sure you don't have that hit of the foreclosure itself on your record. But under the old regime, if that notice was only for 14 days, then by that point, it's already too late.
Yeah.
And they can just go ahead with the foreclosure, even if you do send in that application.
So Alex, if I'm in the situation of where I'm not able, this is the 60 days is coming at me, or I know that that's going to be the route maybe we're taking. Do you recommend, you know, sitting down with someone and just like you said earlier, don't wait on this. Talk to somebody.
Right. Absolutely. Do not wait. What you can do is get in touch with people like us, maybe be able to help legally, try to get in contact with some housing counselors like they have over at HUD, maybe be able to guide you through that application process, walk you through your options based on what your budget is. Just do everything you can to make sure that you're taking action to try and get the matter resolved.
A lot of times, I guess when we talk about this, that and sometimes I guess you're dealing with mortgage companies, or you're dealing with a company kind of thing, and not just an individual. But again, don't wait on this.
Right.
Boy, and I know this has been an issue we have talked a lot about, and it's obviously not going away, and these are issues that we're going to continue to see, and they'll continue to manifest themselves in the years ahead, I would think.
I think it's all the things that we were talking about before the pandemic about housing, and during the pandemic, like Alex said, it just kind of exacerbated and made it worse and more obvious, is the lack of affordable housing in our communities. If you are earning minimum wage, you can't afford a two-bedroom apartment anywhere in our community.
Yeah.
You just can't. You have to either double up or, get more jobs, two or three different jobs. There's really a lack of affordable housing in this community, and so anybody, whether they're a homeowner or a renter, is going to be feeling the squeeze because the prices are just going up and up.
And it used to be where you could go to places like Culpeper or King George or Caroline and maybe find something. But even those areas now, the numbers that I hear of some of these prices are just it's way up even in those areas.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things people have always assumed is, oh, well, I'll just move a little further away from my job, mm-hmm. and I'll find more affordable housing. You can move a really long way away from your house, away from your job, and you're still, you know, then you're going to have such big transportation costs that anything you've saved on housing is going to be eaten up by how much gas or public transportation you have to take to get to your job. So it's really an issue everywhere.
And again, that comes back when we talk about affordable housing, that it is something maybe that, and I know local governments talk about it all the time, and there's not it's an issue that still is out there.
Absolutely. There's a potential for a $2 million grant from Virginia Housing that our local planning commission has been considering.
Yeah.
And they're going to be voting on it again at the end of this month. And I really hope that they accept that money because they're the only planning district in Virginia that hasn't accepted the affordable housing dollars yet. And so I really hope they'll do that because it's not going to solve the problem, but it's going to start the process of coming up with some really good solutions.
There are a number of, I know some organizations. I know Habitat of Caroline is trying to get involved with that, and there are some groups that can make a difference that are trying to do that. You were to say something, Alex?
Yeah, just to put a personal spin on what this is, because I'm just living by myself, and I was renting out an apartment just around northern Fredericksburg area, Stafford County.
Yeah.
And my landlord was going to raise my rent by $200. So then I went out to buy a house. That mortgage that I'm expected to pay is just about as much as how much I was renting at that apartment. And I'm somewhat decently well off. I'm just living by myself. And of course, I've got the job as a lawyer.
Yeah.
But some of my neighbors, they're being expected to pay $1,700 a month. And they've got full-size families. They've got kids to feed. Some of them are also elderly. And if I'm already feeling a little bit of a squeeze, I can't imagine what they're going to be going through, especially since they probably don't have the same option as I did of finding a house, because they'd be looking at figures far, far higher than what I'm expected to pay.
And when you're not seeing a bump in your own pay, where does that come from?
Exactly.
We're talking housing this morning with Legal Aid Works. Ann Klockner is here. Alex Rydell is here. They are with Legal Aid Works, legalaidworks.org. We're talking about mobile homes when we come back. Quick break. We'll continue on this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is now 8:31.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff this morning. We're talking about housing and mortgages. We're going to talk about mobile homes in just a second. Legal Aid Works here. Ann Klockner is the executive director. She is with us, along with Alex Rydell, a staff attorney with Legal Aid Works. How'd you get involved with doing this kind of work? Alex, what's your story?
Well, I guess it would start when I graduated from law school from William & Mary back in 2015. Then I went off to a judicial clerkship out of state, actually over in Minnesota in a rural county. Then once that job ended, I was applying for basically any job that I would be able to do in public service, because that's always what drew me to the law in the first place.
Yeah.
And I got the interview with Legal Aid Works, and apparently I did something right, because I ended up getting this job.
Well, good enough. When you talk about getting involved with public service, were there certain people? How did you go toward that? Did you have some influences that led you that way?
I guess that was always stuck with me since I was born, really, because my father was in the army, so
yeah,
I basically spent my entire childhood going from one in the shadow of one base to another. And then when he retired when I was 13 over in Arizona, it still very much left a mark on me of wanting to help people out and help my country out. And I thought that working in some sort of a legal career would be the best way that I could do that.
How'd you get into because housing is kind of your thing, or you do a majority of things in that. Did you just kind of fall into that?
Pretty much, yes. That was something I hadn't actually considered when I first started out when I was first in law school. But when I took the position and I came to understand, wow, this is actually really incredibly important to people, that everything else just seems to stem from, do I have a good place to sleep? Do I have four walls to protect me? Do I have somewhere I can feed my family, raise my kids? And I've stuck with it ever since, and I'm proud to have helped out as many people as I have.
Well, and you have to feel, especially in these pandemic times, and really all of you at Legal Aid Works, with the kind of barriers that the pandemic has created, to be able to still be being able, we talk so much about heroes through all of this, and talk about healthcare and things like that. But what you guys are doing, it's the same kind of thing. I mean, I feel like I'm sitting right across from you this morning, and on the phone are heroes.
Well, I don't know if hero will be that strong of a word, but I'm still glad to have helped out, and I'm glad to be working on this team with Ann and with everybody else. My managing attorney, Daniel Turkson, my paralegal, Shia Mondillo, the housing navigators like Rosemary Martinez. We've all been out there giving 200% to help out with this.
Now, it was with all the different things that have been the legal system has had to deal with, and just all the changes. And I don't know if I've ever called you a hero in all this, but you really are, as I think about it.
Oh, I would rather be called a cheerleader, because I just get to watch my staff do amazing things, and my job is to keep things going so that they can do amazing things. They have been working 200%. They've been doing it under very difficult circumstances. All of them have situations, let's say at home or raising kids or whatever. Everybody at our office is still, you know, doing what they want to do. They want to help other people. And it's just inspiring to watch that happen. You know, as I said, under the best of circumstances, they're amazing, but they've really risen to the occasion in the last 2 years. I'm super proud of them.
LegalAidWorks.org, the website. And if people want to get involved, check that out and contribute to what you do, that I know is always appreciated.
It certainly is. There's a donate button on that page, and it brings you to a donation page that talks about lots of different ways you can help. Donating money is great. In-kind donations of, let's say, office products, things like that, we're always in need of. So go to our website and find out how you can get involved.
And we're talking housing today, but you deal with so many issues, and there aren't that many of Ann's and Alex's and Daniel's and Rose's and others that I, there's. You cover a wide area, but there aren't as many of you as I know as you would like, or there needs to be.
That's absolutely right. There's no right to our services, so a lot of people think that if you are poor and you can't afford a lawyer, one will be appointed for you, like they say on TV.
That's what they say on TV.
That only applies in criminal cases.
Yeah.
So it's really important to help support us if you can. We cover 17 counties, and that's a lot of area to cover. And we just right now have only 6 lawyers. We're still trying to hire 5 other positions, and that's been very difficult during the pandemic. It's hard to find qualified attorneys in the midst of the pandemic. But even with 11 attorneys covering 17 counties, that's 51 courts on any given day. We're always trying to go to as many different courts as possible. Alex, what's your record for different courts in one day?
I don't know if I've gone 3 courts in one day just yet. But I have built up quite a lot of distance between them. I've gone as far as Westmoreland County over in the east, and I believe Madison County over in the west
In one day?
Not in one day.
Oh, okay.
But those are still just hard drives all by themselves.
Oh, they totally are. That and that's. But to even be in two courts on one day would seem to me to be just your head would be spinning by the end of the day.
What I like to do is once I'm done with those days, just get the one court hearing done, then get the second court hearing done, then go back home into the office and then just take a breather. We need it after that point.
And besides just logistics, it's just you're just stretched so thin, and unfortunately you're not able to take all the cases that you want.
It's the worst part of our job. We call it rationing justice. Deciding which cases we can handle and which cases we can't. I mean, we have to just bow to the laws of physics. We just can't be all those different places at once. So. Yeah. We end up saying no, and lots of legal aids all over the country. The national figure is we turn away 2 out of every 3 eligible applicants. But we try to do as much as we can. As Alex said, if you start your day with a 9 o'clock hearing in Spotsylvania, how long do you think it would take to get to Stafford for another court hearing?
Yeah, with traffic and everything, it can be an hour and a half.
Right, and so you're not sure when the Spotsy case is going to end, but let's just say you're out of there by 10:30, maybe 11.
Yeah.
You wouldn't take another case that morning in another court.
It'd have to be the afternoon.
Right, so if there's an 11 o'clock in Stafford, you're going to have to say no.
Yeah.
Because you already have one in Spotsylvania at 9 o'clock. So that's the kind of calculations we're doing all the time is, we've got 2 people asking us for help. One we've already committed to in Spotsylvania at 9 o'clock. Then we have to decide the one for 11 o'clock in Stafford, and that's going to have to be a no.
Yeah. Wow. You don't think of it in those ways, but you're right. Even Spotsylvania and Stafford so close just because of traffic and time in courts. You never know with the time.
And you have to calculate the look on the judge's face in Stafford if you show up late. They don't like it when you show up late. They really don't.
Yeah. Wow. I never thought of that. LegalAidWorks.org to get involved. The General Assembly sometimes gets involved, and as I know, a few years ago, will sometimes allocate more money and things like that. Is any of that on the horizon right now?
It's all completely in flux, mostly because it's a split General Assembly, and the new governor hasn't given us any signals one way or the other, so we will, just like everybody else, watch the theater down there in Richmond and see what happens. But no, I don't know of anything specific on the horizon.
Okay, LegalAidWorks.org, the website, Ann Klockner here, Alex Rydell. Alex, another thing that you're one of the experts in, mobile home parks and what that all entails. Talk about that.
Certainly. So I want you to think about all the things we were talking about being a renter, and then all the stuff we were talking about being a homeowner and all the problems that come with that. Now add both of those together and dealing with them at the same time. That's, in a nutshell, is what it's like to be a tenant at a mobile home park. That we have to deal with the worst of both worlds.
Wow. So how bad has it been?
Well, there's still the issue about with mobile home parks that you're not really renting out the home nine times out of ten. You're renting out the lot underneath it.
Right.
So if you're to run with all the problems that come with being a tenant that we've just talked about, if there's nothing that people like myself can do to stop the eviction from happening, then, well, you can't live there anymore, but you've still got that mobile home, and now you have to move it out to somewhere else. And I say mobile somewhat loosely because a lot of those could be decades old, and even if they're not, it could cost thousands of dollars to move it out. And if you had that kind of money, well, you wouldn't have fallen behind on the rent in the first place, right?
Right. No, that's exactly what I was thinking of, and I was also going to ask you about that because with so many mobile homes that you see, they're not the kind of thing that is, you're going to be moving. It's not like you just can pull up and move it off. And if it's been there for decades, it's not moving.
Right, exactly.
So what do people do? What happens?
Well, a lot of the times what I see happen is that they can't move out the mobile home, so they have to try and find a way to sell it off to somebody else who could stay there. Now, I believe it is 90 days under law that they have to sell the mobile home or to rent it out to somebody else, and the landlord is supposed to be able to not get in the way of that and to let the owner of the home find somebody who could take it as long as they meet up with the park zone qualifications. In practice, though, sometimes the landlords don't do that.
Right, yeah, that's a tough one because they have a stake in this too.
Right, exactly.
So this is to untangle. I don't know that we've ever talked about mobile homes in much detail, but there are just like you said, there are a lot of different issues altogether here.
It certainly
and it's
is.
A really unusual circumstance too, because there's still a fiction that they're mobile,
right?
Because they actually do not have a deed like you would for your home. They give you a title like a car.
Oh, okay.
Which is nuts, because you're not going to be driving that mobile home down the road.
No.
But they have, so it's this very convoluted, you start dealing with the DMV to find out whether somebody has transferred ownership of this, title of this mobile home to another owner. So that's a layer of complexity. And then, as Alex said, who can afford to actually move a mobile home? They actually will cost somewhere between, I think, $6,000 to $8,000 for a moving company to actually come and properly move out a mobile home, even if it's in the condition to move. Some of them would fall apart if they were moved.
Yeah.
So it limits your options. It's a great option. So many people gravitate toward mobile homes because it's an affordable option for home ownership. But it has those layers to it that I don't think most people think through, thinking, well, if I get evicted because I can't pay my lot rent, what am I going to do with this investment that I've either purchased or am buying from somebody else?
Yeah. So I guess the bottom line here is be aware of these things. Think things through the whole way, because you do really have the chance to really lose a lot if you do fall behind.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and we haven't even talked about what happens to conditions issues yet. Say there's a water leak or the power goes out.
Yeah.
Because say if you're living in an apartment complex or you're renting out a home, then that stuff is considered the landlord's responsibility to repair. But in a mobile home park, if the landlord doesn't own the mobile home, he just owns the lot, then it can depend on what side of the connection is the problem coming from. Is the problem coming from something in the house? Because if so, then it's the tenant's responsibility,
sure,
or whoever owns the mobile home. If it's from the other side, from where it's all hooked up with the park, then it's the landlord's responsibility. But how do you go about proving who's actually supposed to handle it?
Yeah. Wow, issues. Ann Klockner here with Legal Aid Works along with Alex Riedel. We will wrap this up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
We've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by EP Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Legal Aid Works here this morning. Ann Klockner and Alex Riedel here. Before we get out of here, Alex, the right of redemption.
Sure.
What is that?
That is where if you're facing an eviction for non-payment of rent, if you're able to get together all the rent that you owe, all the late fees, utilities, any other fees that you've agreed to the lease, attorney's fees if they have an attorney, and sheriff's fees if the sheriff has gotten involved at that point, and you're able to get that all together 2 days before the eviction date, not the first court date, not even the day of judgment, but before the actual eviction on the sheriff's notice, if you're able to pay all that to the landlord, then by law they have to cancel the eviction. And one big change that just happened is that it used to be you could only do it once every 12 months, but now you can do it basically an unlimited number of times, and that's a permanent change to the law.
Okay. Have you ever seen this happen? Does sometimes that happen? People are able to somehow figure this out?
Yes, sometimes. I've been able to see people get it together, and really they just needed that little extra time to get every bit of money together, go out to organizations that can help them, call some favors in with family members, and they're able to pay the money back and stay housed.
Well, that's a good thing to have. I mean, to know that. I mean, if somehow at the last minute a family member or a friend or someone's able to help you out, that the right of redemption is there.
Mm-hmm. It is literally a lifesaver for a whole bunch of people.
Well, and I'm sure. I mean, that is that. If anything, that's sort of the one thing that can save you, I guess, as we talk about all this.
It's important for everyone to know that there's a rent relief program as well as a mortgage relief program. So if you've applied for that and that money comes through at that last minute, that will help you redeem your tenancy. That's why they call it the right of redemption.
Real quick, if someone wants to get more information, I guess go to Legal Aid Works and any other organizations that they ought to look to.
There is a program through the George Washington Planning District that is called the COC, the Continuum of Care, and they have a program that you can access. I'm not sure if I have that number right handy, but you can definitely call our office and we'll be able to refer you there as well. And they are a kind of a clearinghouse for all housing issues if you're facing homelessness.
Yeah, the Fredericksburg Regional Continuum of Care. Samantha Shukas on with us often with that. So check
That's
them out
the one.
Too. And also Legal Aid Works, legalaidworks.org. And your number, Anne, is...
That's a trick question.
371-1105.
The number is 540-371-1105.
Ann Klockner, Alex Riedel, thank you both for what you do. Thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
LegalAidWorks.org. See you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving for daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.